In the modern age, privacy has become the key battleground. World War III is thankfully not yet being fought with nuclear weapons, but with dick pics and headless torsos on Grindr.
The U.S. is forcing Kunlun Tech, the Chinese owners of Grindr, to sell their stake in the gay dating app because experts suggest the app is a major security risk. Meanwhile, some folks have given up on social media and dating apps because it's too much trouble to deal with all the madness.
Today, performance artist and cooking drag queen Vita Santa Mamita joins us to take a look at the crazy mixed-up world of gay dating apps, her outrageous and delicious drag performances, and her adventures as an HIV educator in Malawi.
Plus, Molly Shannon out celebrated poet Emily Dickinson in the new film Wild Nights with Emily.
Madonna leaves Portugal on horseback.
And the city of Chicago drops all charges against Jussie Smollett. And now the FBI is looking into it.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. You guys want to sing along?
Yeah.
This is all you got to do is every time I say, Mama, yo quiero, you guys go, Mama.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Ay, 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 mama, yo quiero.
Mama.
Mama, yo quiero.
Mama.
Mama, yo quiero mamar. Da chupeta, da chupeta, da chupeta, da chupeta, va a llorar. Mama, 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 yo quiero.
Mama.
Mama, yo quiero.
Mama.
Mama, yo quiero mamar. Now, this is in English. Okay. Give the nipple, give the nipple, give the nipple so the baby won't cry. Isn't that lovely?
That's lovely.
Great. That's the great drag queen from Brazil, Carmen Miranda, who was so famous, such a big star at the time, that even Bugs Bunny dressed up in drag to pay tribute to her in the cartoon.
Well, who can resist a hat made of fruits?
And it's not only delicious, but edible. Mm-hmm. Just like our guest today is the delicious performance artist, Vita Santa Mamita.
Mamita. Thank you for having me.
Who is our good Judy, a good friend here, and she loves to cook, and she likes to cross-dress for your entertainment pleasure on social media, and also does weird performances to Cher's music. What is it, the song that you did?
Oh, it wasn't to Cher. It involved Cher's. Yeah. I just like...
Wait, a chair that you sit on, not share the performance.
Oh, no, nothing to do with chair. Yeah, the chair you sit on.
I got so excited when you said chair.
Okay.
No.
I thought you were talking about actual chairs.
So you
or the entertainer.
No, the sitting device chair.
And what did you do with those chairs?
I just like played a track of classical music. I forget what it is right now. And just like, I was doing this performance in this outdoor deck space, so there were just a bunch of bar stools and chairs, and I just ran back and forth across the room, like, you know, pushing things aside, and it was also raining and thundering out, so it had this, like, kind of creepy...
Menacing.
That sounds more like you're describing your last wild night of sex that you had.
Yeah, I mean, it was more like my last, like, summoning of the devil, because what? I am a witch.
Oh, you are? What kind of witch are you?
More
a
like
good
an
witch?
Herbal... No, a sandwich.
Where's the meat?
No.
Well,
she's gluten-free, though.
Yeah, sandwich.
Mm.
And so you originally grew up in Boston, and then you moved to D.C., and in D.C., you worked overseas for
the
Goodwill.
Peace Corps.
For the Peace Corps.
Yeah. I did Peace Corps Malawi right after college. No one really knows Malawi, so it's just fun to be like, oh, yeah, you know that place where Madonna adopted her kid. And, you know, I was a proud volunteer there.
Is she like a superhero over there?
They hate her.
Worship her and listen to all her music.
Oh God,
Madonna is going to steal my baby.
Take it to the great country.
Vita Santa Mamita, Madonna is going to steal my baby. please don't let her take my baby, please.
Yeah, no, that was my job. I had to like teach people how to make sure their kids wouldn't get abducted by Madonna. You know, it's hard work, but someone has to do it.
Seriously,
like, what is her reputation over there?
They really don't like her. So I think she found out about the country because like a lot of developing countries like have like a really bougie resort where you'd like pay a lot of money to live like a villager. So like, you know, you'll stay in a place for a month and you'll get water from the borehole carried on your head, like cook with your own fires and things like that.
Oh shit.
And I think that's how she found out about the country. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, built up this whole like, oh, I'm going to adopt a kid and do a woman's empowerment project that completely failed. So everyone associates her with these like failed development initiatives that she tried.
So the school for girls in Malawi, is that happening? Or
I think it like went bankrupt. I don't think it exists anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. No, it really didn't work out. I think Rihanna's had a little bit more success.
Is Rihanna in Malawi too?
Yeah, she does something there. Like, I think she won some humanitarian award recently, and there's like some YouTube documentary about
it. Where's Oprah's school?
It's in Malawi too, I think.
Is it? No, oh, God.
It can't be.
Everyone's like, someone's going to Malawi.
No, but seriously, what did you do in Malawi?
Oh, I did HIV community education.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really great. I had like studied health stuff and international development in college, so it was really great to go there. And I actually like, you know, met some trans people there, like this trans woman there helped me do makeup because I was like kind of missing it. I mean, you have to be on like the down low with things, because it can get a little dicey. Like, I think it's, you get up to 14 years of imprisonment if you're found like in a compromising sexual
in
situation.
Malawi?
Yeah. Yeah. But
well, who's spreading all this HIV then? If nobody's...
It's the straight people. Yeah.
So in terms of like Madonna's school for girls, like it has a, her presence in Malawi, in the country of Malawi, is not celebrated. It's not looked positively upon. Just to clarify for the listeners, Oprah Winfrey's Leadership Academy for Girls is in South Africa.
Okay.
That, where the dynamics might be a little bit better, since South Africa is a more progressive country than probably Malawi is.
Yeah, I don't know too much about... I mean, I know Cape Town has a really vibrant queer scene. Like, they have quite a few gay musicians, I think some like gay clubs and stuff.
But you were nowhere near there, right?
No, but I mean, I guess it's hard to say progressive or not progressive, because I think you also have to see homophobia itself as like a Western cultural product that has made its way over there with like years of missionary involvement and things like that. But I think...
Yeah, they export it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we export it to them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think, like, people have really talked about that in Uganda with, like, I forget the guy's name, but that crazy evangel. Yeah.
Eat the poo-poo. Well, that's the thing about it is like, you know, we have a very superficial understanding of what life is like in Africa and for all these different countries. And, you know, it's sort of like you wouldn't want someone... who lives in New York thinking all Americans are the same based on somebody in Alabama or Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
And definitely. I would imagine that in Africa it would be the same.
Yeah. Thing. I mean, the crazy thing there too is like, being a gay person, you can sometimes like almost hide in plain sight, because it's totally culturally acceptable there for you to like hold hands with another man in public, or be a little bit more physically intimate, like not kissing or anything.
Drop his pants down.
Yeah, you know, just like stroke. No one's gonna look, you know, twice.
It's interesting how different places in the world have a different view of what's masculine.
Yeah, you know?
And here in the United States, I'd say that we're very like hyper masculine. It's just like they don't want hugging, kissing, and you go to India, you go to Pakistan, you go to all these other places, and just like it, you know, they might as well be married.
Yeah. Oh my God. Speaking of like how crazy masculinity is in America, I recently got this pre-workout powder that, no, I can't, I mean, that's pretty wild too, but like, it's, the title of it is Assault. Like, the brand is MP.
Yeah, I love that powder, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just, like, crazy.
It gets me horny! Oh. No, it actually doesn't. It just makes my hands shake.
Oh, yeah, and, like, it makes my lips all burny and tingly. But, like, for me, I just try to think, like, what are you doing with this? I'm like, oh, I'm gonna assault this bench press. Like, couldn't you just name it?
I'm taking no prisoners.
Yeah. Like, super strong workout. I don't know. Like...
Well, for people who are not familiar, really quickly, pre-workout powders is basically the equivalent of having a cup of coffee before hitting the gym. So
or
you're
a bump of meth.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And so a lot of the one meth, is called assault. Another one's called C4, which has a really
explosive.
Like an explosive, yeah. Right? Other one is called literally no explode. It's nitrous oxide explosion.
Oh, wow.
So did you have a boyfriend in Malawi?
Yeah. I dated this guy called Rodney. He did have a nice rod, because I know you all out there are wondering. He was great. He worked for the only LGBT nonprofit in Malawi. And, like, the way they do, like, that advocacy stuff is, like, very interesting. Like, their approach was, like, we're going to take this stuff on from a health perspective. So they're, like... They would do these education initiatives with hostel workers and be like, if you deny a man who has sex with man health care because of what you think he is, you are breaking this law because Malawi has, like, pledged universal health care for all citizens.
Should we be saying his name if he's the only person that working at this organization?
Are you putting
I didn't say the... No. Like,
it's not his real name.
No, well, it is his real name, but, like, they apply for grants and stuff, so, like, and they have a website that has his name on it, so...
Okay. It's public information, you're not betraying his safety.
Yeah, anymore. I mean, I'll marry him, he can come move here if he needs to. Sorry, that was, like, gravely privileged of me.
Well, it just marks
concerned about his safety.
No, Rodney is fine. He is open in his community.
Okay.
Yeah, he has, like, 3 kids as well, and they know, and they're fine with it. So,
okay,
yeah.
What was it that made you want to volunteer with the Peace Corps? The Peace Corps is sometimes accused of being sort of a colonialist institution.
Yeah, so that was my interest in it because my undergrad, I studied gender studies and Africana studies and economics, and I got fascinated with just, like, the politics of humanitarianism. Like, how is it that we, like, problematize certain people as being perverse or lacking or, like, subhuman or whatever? So for me, I was just fascinated to see how those all play out, like, in person, rather than from, you know, all these anthropology textbooks I was reading.
What was the biggest surprise that you experienced when you got there and lived and worked as an HIV prevention worker?
I think for me, what was surprising was the hierarchies I saw among local people, ones who worked for the government and NGOs, and how they internalized all these, like, Western colonialisms, and then treated when they would, like, come visit us in our villages, they'd be really rude to all the people we would work with, because they even had this idea of, like, rural or village people as backwards or not as smart or whatever.
So there's a lot of condescension from inside their own community.
Yeah, which
towards
is
people who are not as privileged as they were.
Yeah. So for me, it was, like, the very much, like, drink the Kool-Aid of Peace Corps as this new colonial thing. I actually had a blog that I started when I first got there, like, critiquing, like, all the things I took issues with in the trainings. And they, like, have crazy Google alerts or something for these things. Because after 2 weeks, they found my blog. I got a call from the director, and they were like, yeah, you said some pretty, like, offensive things about how we do our training processes, and we're going to have to ask you to take this blog down. And, like, vaguely threatened in that they would make me go home if I didn't.
Wow. Yeah. That's one way to get out of it. What's the state of AIDS in Malawi? Because, you know, we've just done this podcast. We're now in our 15th season, and I think it was probably in our first or second season we had a Peace Corps worker, and she had been, I'm not sure which country it was, but they had lost, like, 40% of their population to HIV and AIDS.
Yeah, I mean, something that's important to know about, like, public health statistics, especially in the developing world, is, like, they don't usually have the capacity to really test everyone, and so a lot of the times they'll do testing in a hotspot area and then create projections for the rest of the country, and that's what you see. So, I mean, it could be true, it could be not true.
But these were deaths, they said.
Yeah. Yeah. But then again, you also have to wonder, like, are they going deep into the bush getting death records? Like, I'm not saying this as a way to say that we've completely over-exaggerated the HIV crisis in different parts of the globe. But to me, I think it connects in a lot of the ways that in our imaginings of, like, AIDS-ridden countries that we perceive, like, the sexualities of the people in them.
And so you sort of did your work with the Peace Corps, which is usually it's about a year in the country, or and so you came back to the United States.
Yes, I came back to DC,
and in the meantime, as you're going to school, you decided to start a video series on Facebook about you doing a cooking show in drag. And to on the record, you knew nothing about us.
No, no,
this is on your own idea.
You never Googled, like, cooking drag queens?
No, because so it was 2014. And a friend and I had just graduated, and we were in upstate New York for the summer. And I was a vegan at the time, and I was really annoying about it. Like, I mean, a gay...
Is there any other way?
No. And I think the joke was, like, I'm already gay, I'm already a Gemini, I'm already vegan. Like, what's the other big thing that, like, someone needs to say in their first time they meet you? And it's, well, I should become a drag queen, too. So, it, like...
So you did it just to sort of add to your resume.
Yeah, yeah, my, like, obnoxious, like, oh, so who are you? Like...
And that's where you sort of developed the name for yourself, Vita Santa Mamita.
Yeah, so the Vita came from, it was going to be a vegan cooking show, so we wanted some, like, silly alliteration with vegan. And I'm Italian and Spanish, so we did Vita, because, like, ooh, life, vibrancy, and then Santa Mamita was just my last name, Santa Maria. So, you know, a little spin off that. And there you go.
Oh, your actual last name is Santa Maria?
Yeah, I like to say that I was named after the boat that didn't make it to colonize America. Because, it, you know...
One of them sank,
that is
right?
The one that
sank around Haiti, I think. Yeah.
La Niña, La Pinta, y La Santa Maria.
Yeah.
They're actually named after sex workers. Did you know
really?
That?
Really?
I did not. Great
yes,
lineage
darling.
There.
Yes. La Niña means the girl. La Pinta means the colored one. And the Santa Maria is, you know, the Holy Mary, but...
Well,
you know,
holy.
I guess, I don't know how well people know about this, but Columbus's ships were named after sex workers.
I mean, I'm carrying on the tradition.
The New World, when we think about the New World, people are like, why do they call it the New World? It was just the same reason that new and improved on, like, soap. It was a branding thing because European monarchies and governments wanted people to invest money and start, you know, paying their taxes, right? So they want to expand their revenue. And so the idea of colonizing the Americas was, that's why they call it the New World, because it was to make it shiny and new.
They'd never known about it before. Like, to them, it was new.
But the emphasis in the calling it the New World is the same reason. It was the same mindset as marketing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not necessarily because people were discovering something. It was literally marketed as the new and improved with, you can be a king of your own mansion. Come to the New World.
Well, yeah, that's why, like, everyone ended up dying around, like, Charlestown, because they're like, oh, it's such fertile land. And then none of them knew what to do there.
Yeah. And so a lot of the people who are sort of colonizing the New World in that era had the first clue of how to do shit.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people died.
Yeah. They were also, like, the outcasts of England, I think, too, because a lot of them were people who, like, were not really able to make it big in London, then, or the UK, whatever, then end up moving, try their luck elsewhere.
So, Vita, in your Facebook live streaming, what kind of stuff did you do exactly? You were cooking in drag, you're making terrible desserts, and...
Oh, no, they were amazing.
They were good? What did you make?
So, the most interesting thing I made was I used silken tofu, blended with, like, cocoa powder and some sugar, to make, like, a creamy pie filling. And
sounds delicious.
I've had something like that before.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
And it's super, you know, low calorie, high protein, like, bitches love that. So Yeah, that was
you had a couple of packets of NutraSweet honey. Then we're talking.
Yeah, yeah. So
the fat just melts off your thighs.
Mm,
no, actually, right it's a you can make a really gorgeous custard with silk and tofu.
Yeah,
but you got to add some eggs or some type of thickening agent.
You use like flax. Flax and water is like the vegan egg equivalent.
Oh, really? That's so scary.
Yeah. It's
no
so
flax
delicious.
Actually does sort of gel, kind of like Jell-O.
Yeah, yeah.
You could also use agar as a gelling compound.
Yeah,
it's not too bad, you know. And so,
placement, yeah.
Recently you've sort of taken a hiatus, and this gets us to our main story today. Mm-hmm. Here, Johnny Skandros, the owner. The Playboy owner of Scruff might be opening a bottle of champagne because there's number one nemesis, Grindr, the scourge of every gay man and the blessing of every gay man's cell phone and gender nonconforming. And because, you know, some trans people are on these apps too, is being forced to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people are like, kind of, you know, there's a bit of schadenfreude, right, with towards these hookup apps.
Well, I think, you know, we actually knew the guy who founded it, Joel Simkai, and I think he initially sold it for like $40 million, and there was another additional investment from somebody else for like $90 million, and then I think the Chinese bought into it too, and it was valued at like $240 million.
Oh, wow. A Chinese gaming company.
A Chinese gaming company with American
roots.
But now the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States didn't have time to review the sale, and now they've gone back and said, no, you can't own that.
Oh, no, you don't, honey.
So they're saying you must sell it. And they're saying...
Sell it to who?
Well, it would have to be somebody that gets approved by the United States government.
Probably a U.S. company.
Probably a U.S. company, or a European company, maybe Australian or something.
Yeah.
Somebody who's not Chinese.
because of China's privacy laws don't protect the consumer the way... other countries' privacy laws would.
Well, there's also this, but there's also too. They might be able to use it for spying because you know you can maybe you can figure out. Oh, this guy is using his Grindr here in this location. Then he's also using it in this location, and you're tracking them. And like, oh my, this guy works for the government. So maybe we'll look at his pictures, and maybe we can blackmail him. Now that's one kind of thing too. But also too, we don't know what they're doing with their information, and we don't know how they're manipulating that information back on that end and sending it back to us. Maybe they'll attack us with some kind of weird propaganda. We don't know.
Well, also it doesn't hurt that the CEO of the company, the Chinese gaming company, was in the news talking about how he thinks, you know, a real marriage or should be between a man and a woman. And, and so he had backpedals and people were like, what are you doing? Like advertisers to advertise on a gay dating app and your own CEO's literally speaking out against gay people.
And the U.S. right now too, like there's a lot going on between China and the United States as far as technology goes. Like, you know, people are racing to build like the world's first like G5 network, and China wants to do it, the United States wants to do it, and the United States doesn't want to use Chinese products because all of that products, it could be like spyware. And so it's all about who's going to spy.
The hardware, the chips.
Will turn into some kind of spyware, gather information. We don't know what that information could do, because it's all kind of up in the air. They have some ideas, but I don't think they really like to talk about it because they don't want to give anybody any ideas. And, you know, and most recently they arrested somebody in Canada because
the daughter of the CEO,
because they're like, you know, they're fighting about this technology. So,
and so it's the daughter, I'm not remembering the details on her name or the name of the company, but it's one of China's largest computer hardware manufacturing companies. And when they arrested her, in her possession was nothing but Apple products. and just to people be like, so what? The impact of that is that you're having a huge faux pas in terms of like high-ranking Chinese officials getting caught with American technology as opposed to Chinese technology that they're using is almost a crime. And in terms of, even though it's widely understood that oligarchs across the world like to use Apple products because of the ability to protect their privacy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they're so sleek and pretty.
Well, and it's seen as a status device. They like the the status of having this specific product. And so, you know, not to say that other computer products don't have their own status as well, but in terms of privacy, these computer companies don't really value that. And so if you're an oligarch up to no good, guess what? They're going to want to use stuff on a platform that is able to protect themselves from getting spied on, even though their number one agenda is to spy on the rest of the world. And that's why you understand why privacy is a huge commodity that's being fought for. It's a battleground.
Yeah.
It is the Armageddon battle right now of the ages. And so, as we've seen this past year, so much in terms of our politics here in the United States centers those discussions around privacy and the fact that we have a president that we know very little about. We don't know where Trump is making his money. We don't know much about the Mueller report. We might not ever see the details of the Mueller report. We can't even make our own decision and on this report that we spent $25 million developing. So it is privacy is at the core of all, you know, international politics, is at the core of all this battle. And Grindr, the most ridiculous app in the world, is at the center of it all. Wow. Amazing.
And I wonder too if, like, maybe they were targeted specifically because they were gay and they're like, this is an easy target for the United States government, you know?
Yeah. Well, if we just didn't care about people's dick pics, this wouldn't be an issue. You know, you can't blackmail someone if you don't give a crap.
But I'm wondering, like, if somebody, like a high ranking, you know, person with security clearance is feeling the pressure by participating on this app to show themselves in compromising photos.
Oh, like, here's my power.
You are not going to get any sex if you don't show me your gaping hole.
Wow.
With a couple of dildos inside of it.
Well, yeah, it's like no pics, no chat, right?
Yeah.
If I don't see it, I don't want it.
I mean, you could take it to Instagram. That's what I like to do.
That's an interesting thing. We started seeing, you know, platforms, especially with young people, Snapchat and Instagram, with this idea of a temporary space for you know, permanent data. But some privacy experts are saying there's really no privacy at all, and somebody somewhere has access to your stuff. And so, you know, the sneaker net, or just, you know, literally showing somebody your cell phone but not allow sending them the photo is the only way to get it. Show them what you got.
Honestly, I'm just gonna start walking up and down the street with my, like, you know, ass out. Like,
you'll get arrested, girl.
Yeah, but I, you know, avoid the internet completely. Just get back to the days of door-to-door marketing. You know,
when you go to the bar, you have a photo album and be like, "Here's my dick pic."
Yeah.
Flip through it.
You can do a few years difference. Like, oh, look how much I've grown. Like,
I do remember sort of the early days of internet hookup app culture. I started observing more guys that you were just flirting with or making friendly conversation at a bar, and they would lean into you and be like, "So are you a top or a bottom?" And that's not a question that I usually would get asked in the past, but it seemed like it was a sign of the changing times when people felt brave enough to ask people very personal questions upon meeting each other. And it was not almost if somebody asked you at a first date, like, "What's your income and social security number?" You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a weird, all this weird personal stuff being suddenly up for grabs. And so part of me is like, feels very bad for people who are sort of like just developing their sexuality, coming to their age. And, you know, you're a relatively young person.
Yeah. I'm a ripe 26. Yeah.
And so for you, you're like, you're coming of age at a time where, like, privacy and sexuality is a battleground again.
Yeah, I think, like, the period of Facebook that I grew up in was one where, like, my parents and aunts and stuff were like, "And I know this woman who her bosses saw her drinking too much on Facebook, and then they fired her. So you need to be really careful."
And so, yeah.
I'm like, does that
were you very
happen?
Careful at 16 to not drink too much on Facebook?
But my mother was an idiot. It took her maybe to, like, the 10th time I was, like, vomiting in the bathroom for her to realize that I just wasn't developing a stomach bug every weekend. Like,
well, mom, I'm a binge drinker.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, I've noticed talking to people who have workplace policies in terms of sick leave. Now a lot of workplaces are just assuming you're up to no good when you take a sick leave, like, oh, yeah, as a policy to treat everybody the same. And it's not like you have to justify whether you're having a sick leave or not. But I always feel like I think you get more, you know, you get more kindness from your employer when you do tell them you're, you know, legitimately sick, as opposed to you're like, yeah, I just got too drunk and I'm hungover. I don't feel like coming in, you know. and that thing is like you're basically trying to create a goodwill relationship with your employer. And you know, we need to create space for people to be hungover or not feel like going in.
That's, yeah,
like a mental day off of work.
Or like meditation rooms in offices.
Yeah.
Like those are, I mean, those are disgusting also.
What you don't like meditation rooms?
Well,
in corporate environments? Or?
Yeah, because I feel like they're always in a room that has no windows because they're somewhere borrowed in the office. And there's always like a really old couch from the 70s that like may or may not have cum stains on it. Like,
I'm sure most meditation rooms are just masturbation chambers.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
And then there's like one, you know, framed picture of like a scenic whatever to, I don't know, make you feel like you're outdoors.
You have to clear your mind.
Yeah. So I feel like the meditation room is a solution to like the coming to our hangover thing.
Well, are you serious about this? Because usually, like, yeah, when I worked in publishing, I remember one coworker who would always like to go use a bathroom, and we all were like, he was, you know, pleasuring himself. And my desk.
Aren't you glad he did it in the bathroom and not at his desk?
That's what I was saying. I was like, I don't care what he's doing in the bathroom. Just as long as he's
coming out.
So yeah, if it's not poop or pee, it's going to be jizz or whatever. But it's like, yeah, it's none of our business.
And you know what? Maybe he needs that to get through the workday. Like, that makes him a more productive employee.
Yeah. I mean, he actually was a productive employee. He was one of the best salespeople they had.
Well, maybe that's the secret to business.
The edge.
Yeah. He's just always edging himself, getting ready for that next thing.
I gotta get this one out.
So you're a born again virgin?
Yeah. That's been a lot of fun.
Why are you born again virgin?
Oh, mama, it's crazy. I mean, yeah, all this talk of Grindr and Scruff, I haven't even used one of those apps in like almost a year. Yeah, so I'm a proud Gemini sister. So last season, like, a close friend had gathered a few acquaintances for a little party, not a capital T, but there were things going on, and I got a fissure from it. A good old DP really just split me open.
An anal fissure.
Yeah.
So slang for your, explain to people, a DP stands for double penetration.
Yeah.
So you had that two penises.
They were very large.
At the same time.
Yeah.
And the key to getting double penetrated, the dicks don't have to be necessarily thick, but they have to be kind of long, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you have to, the way you space it out, right?
Listen up, kids.
Break through the threshold. Yeah. If
and
only
so
this was a video.
You wide open.
Rip me wide open. And, you know, I didn't even notice at the time. Or maybe at the time I was like, oh, that feels a little weird. But, like, you know, you're a little drunk. You're in the moment. You're having fun. And then, like, the next day it was like, oh, my God, what did these men do to me? And it took forever for this thing to heal. So I finally went to a doctor and through that found out that I have a digestive autoimmune condition that was preventing it from healing because my butt's so stressed out. I'm like, you know, do you have Xanax for my anus? Like, can it just chill?
Wait, so your butthole was stressed out?
And
that's why it ripped, or that's why it wouldn't heal?
That's why both. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I have this condition called ulcerative colitis, and that's just like inflammation of your intestine. But for me in particular, I've been blessed, so it focuses right on my anus. But, you know, with lots of different, like, I took these like medicated douches, and funny thing, I did try being a witch doctor, I tried to make my own
medicated douche.
Yeah, well, so I use,
what could go wrong?
No, nothing. I mean, it's all natural, organic. I use like coconut oil, tea tree oil, lavender oil.
You put tea tree oil up your bunghole?
Yeah.
But I hope you diluted that quite a bit.
Yeah, it was diluted. But the thing with essential oils, you have to be super careful. You should only get ones that say that you're allowed to use them internally, because otherwise, like, the FDA has some wiggle room that, like, you don't have to say there are things in there that are not. But if it says not for internal use, you know that there's some shit in there. Because they're all, like, you know, oils from plants and stuff. Like, you should be able to ingest them.
And so you were telling me that you got Botox on your butthole.
Yeah, yeah. My first time getting Botox.
To get rid of wrinkles around the sphincter?
Yeah, I just wanted it to look really pretty for prom. So... so the Botox shop, using a relaxes the muscles, they were like, okay, it's not healing, let's try this Botox. And it actually worked. Like, a few weeks later, the fissure was gone. But then the problem was, like, the fissure is gone, and you've been doing these douches and everything, so it's not inflamed, but you're still, like, constantly clenched. Like, literally anal, constantly. And
so, like, right now, like, your butthole
is so tight. Oh, I'm so clenched right now. Yeah, you have no idea.
You can't relax it?
I've tried meditation, acupuncture.
Well, you were telling me that it was twitching.
It was like a
twitchy eye.
Yeah, yeah, like that.
And so when you ever talk Very about that. Your anus, it starts to twitch again.
Yeah, it like, hears me and it knows I'm talking about it, so it's like...
So now you're a top?
Yeah.
Did somebody say my name?
No, now like my thing is just like I'm either really into fraudage or back alley blowjobs. It's the new look.
What's like literally in an alley?
Oh yeah. So
do you have a particular alley?
You know, I like the one by Berlin because it has a lot of dumpsters. Mm-hmm. And the lighting is also like decent too, so you can like see the dick too, but no one, you know, from the streets will see you.
Are you just meeting the guys on the street and taking them back there? You pull them out of the club?
You know, it's different. I will say the strangest thing that happened to me one night was I was leaving Berlin. I was in heels and I was walking to a friend's place and this guy comes up behind me and he keeps on like, you're like, hey, hey. And then like, I eventually turn around to be like, what the fuck? And he was like kind of cute. And he was like, want to rub me off in this alleyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm here for the story. I'll do it.
I hope you charge him some money because otherwise a lot of those girls on that corner, they're going to get mad if you give it away for free.
I know. They're going
to count on getting money out of that.
I'm a pro bono bone. Yeah.
No, don't do that there. You got to charge money for that.
I know. Getting a bad rap.
Well, you're going to get sliced. The girls will slice you.
Yeah. Those sharp ass nails. Like they'll really get you. I mean, there's nothing else to slice. My best asset is already opened.
Oh.
So no, but like, it was just wild too, because like he kept on like wanting me to jack him off. He didn't want me to do anything else, to be honest.
Jack him off?
Yeah, but the thing is that like someone kept on coming down an alley, and as soon as someone would come, he would make us go to a different alley. And I'm like in heels, and at one point I was like, you know, he's not paying me. This isn't like funny anymore.
See, that's why you got to get paid.
Yeah, so like we didn't even finish.
Girl.
Yeah.
Next time, cointadas.
Don't be throwing no shade.
No, you live
I
your life.
I just want to get paid.
You do whatever you want.
I'm sexually empowered 26-year-old. Yes. Grinders out. Like, pretty soon everyone's going to be getting it in the alleyways.
Mm.
Well, that's the thing. You know, it's like if you start shutting it down off the internet, people go back to the old-fashioned, you know.
Yeah.
On the street.
Yeah.
Going to bars.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm so here for that.
Grocery store.
Yeah.
In the heydays of Chicago's Boys Town in the 80s and even in the 90s, the grocery store, the main grocery store there, used to be a place that was known for if you were shopping for groceries at 11 o'clock, it meant that you were interested in a very wholesome hookup.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well,
and you live on the south side because you go to the University of Chicago. Yeah. Jackson Park. I don't know how far you are from Jackson Park, but
yeah.
That's a big cruising ground.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
If you like African-American men.
I mean, I am equal opportunity. Like, I mean, right now my mouth is equal opportunity. I can't say much.
Well,
right
there
else.
You go.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to develop a micro penis fetish soon, I think.
So anything goes.
Anything goes. Be the only thing that fits.
So you were in Malawi, and yeah. Madonna was, you know, as we know, has a relationship with Malawi, but she also has a relationship with Portugal.
Oh.
So she had moved to Portugal, and I'm not really 100% sure why. Maybe because like all drugs are legal there.
That could be.
Or she's been filming some
cheap
stuff.
And
she's been filming stuff there and also filming things in Morocco. So, you know, Portugal is just a hop, jump, and a whatever.
Flight away.
From over there. So she might be leaving.
Ooh.
She adopted
too many kids.
She didn't adopt any kids. And well, in Portugal, you just nab them off the street. Like,
oh, good.
Nab them, Macan. And they, no, she was, wanted to film something in this palace. there, and they said, yes, you can film on these dates. And she's like, I want to bring a horse into the palace. And they were just like, no, you can't, because the horse is too heavy and the beams are old and you can't do that. And I guess she got mad, and now she's just like, you guys begged me to come live here and now I'm leaving. According to the news.
Wow. So the reason Madonna is leaving Portugal is because she can't ride her horse through her palace.
You know, people are just so ungrateful.
Is it good for the horse to be able to clop through, you know, marble floors? Mm-hmm.
I can see that being like, you know, a dream job for the horse. Like, you live all your life in a barn and then one day
you're in pain. Listen, horses need soil. It's hard on, you know, those police horses that walk through the streets. They get outfitted with special horseshoes to be able to walk on the pavement. Yeah, it's not a pleasurable thing for the horse.
Well, they just have fingernails, right? I mean, they're walking on their fingernails. Clip, clop, clop.
Molly Shannon from Saturday Night Live, star of the film Superstar, is going gay for pay.
Ooh.
She is the star. She's portraying Emily Dickinson in the new film Wild Nights with Emily. The title is a reference to Emily Dickinson's short poem, Wild Nights, Wild Nights. Mm-hmm. And it shows Molly Shannon and actress Dana Melanie as older, younger iterations of Dickinson, carrying on an illicit romance with her female lover through time. Mm-hmm.
Who was married to her brother, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You know, there's this idea out there that Emily Dickinson was like this little spinster who just kind of like lived alone by herself and was a recluse. But it was like, no, she was like, she was out there. She was hoofing the pavement trying to get her poems published. And she was banging this hot chick.
Yeah, she can get it. Yeah.
Are you guys familiar with the poems of Emily Dickinson?
Yeah, I mean,
probably.
Emily Dickinson is kind of somebody who was celebrated long after her death. So in her time, she never sort of saw the fame and fortune as someone like T.S. Eliot, for example, another American poet. I think T.S. Eliot.
Or like
was
Robert
British,
Frost or somebody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But what's really cool about Emily Dickinson's poetry is that it fits beautifully with the meter of the song Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Oh, really? Can you sing some of
that? Yeah. So this is just a random poem. It's called I Taste a Liquor Never Brewed by Emily Dickinson. I taste a liquor never brewed from tankard, scoop, and pearl. Not all the Frankfurt berries yield to such an alcohol. Inebriate of air am I, and debauchee of dew, reeling through the endless summer days from inn of molten blue. Woo! Super casual, fragile.
That's
and so
amazing.
On. And so Emily Dickinson's poetry was celebrated and still is celebrated because of her imagination, her ability to see a world that was far beyond her own experience. And that is what a true artist does. It creates a world that they don't necessarily see, or even people know it exists. But once they discover it, boy, are you glad they did. So I actually think, you know, seeing Molly Shannon finally unleash her inner lesbian poet is going to be a lot of fun. It looks like a great film to watch.
Oh, I'm super excited. Definitely going to check it out when it comes to town.
And also news, well, let's see. The city of Chicago has dropped all charges against Jussie Smollett. And now the FBI is getting in on the clusterfuck.
Well, they want to understand why the charges were dropped. So the charges were dropped. He forfeited his bond of $10,000 and he has to do some kind of community service, right? He still is maintaining his innocence. He's like, the story that I told from the very beginning is the story that's there. I don't know exactly what that story was because I haven't really seen it, right?
About the Mueller investigation than we know about Jussie Smollett's case.
But it's certainly, you know, the mayor Rahm Emanuel, the police captain, they've all chimed in and being like, what the heck is going on here? You know, and some people are really outraged, you know, but you really have to, I want people who are really outraged at this to really look at themselves and to think about the Chicago Police Department and the brutality that they've done to certain people and ask yourself, why are you not outraged at that? Why do you accept police brutality? But this Jussie Smollett, who may or may not have invented a hate crime, why are you so outraged about that?
Mayor Rahm Emanuel is certainly being very loud in this case, considering he has been caught covering up and you know, delaying the release of Laquan McDonald's murders by in the hands of Chicago police in order to be reelected as mayor. Mm. And he still continues to run Hamnen Square, which is a illegal secret jail where if the police don't like you, honey, that's where they put you. If I ever disappear, and you were like, what happened to Feast of Fun? I was like, it's because they threw Fausto in Hamnen Square.
This is some hot tea. Yeah.
It's scalding, honey. So if I were Rahm Emanuel, I'd just keep my mouth shut, take my Uber money, you know, because I think he's like got stock in Uber, and get the fuck out of town, honey, because nobody likes you. Nobody likes Rahm Emanuel. And it's a telling to the mayor how disliked he is that both front-running mayoral candidates, Lori Lightfoot and the one who's not going to win,
Preckwinkle.
Bless Tony Preckwinkle. They're both distancing themselves from the existing mayor. Mm-hmm. That they're both like, well, I'm less than Rahm Emanuel. I'm even less than... And everyone's like, the way they're tarnishing each other, they're running attack ads, is like, you know, Lori Lightfoot was involved with Rahm Emanuel, blah, 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 you know. So part of it is like, he's a very disliked mayor. He's a very unpopular. And, you know, they could investigate you too. Would you like to get investigated? Because that could happen. I'm literally dipping my tea bag in my tea right now.
And it's scalding.
And I'm just saying, I would keep, if you're guilty of a crime, you keep your mouth shut. If it's especially the same crime, which is faking shit.
So it's going to be really interesting. Yeah, I see people on Facebook like, I will never watch any program that he's ever in again. And it's just like, you know,
actor Jussie Smollett, yeah, not Rahm Emanuel.
Exactly. And a part of me is just like, if he did make this up, I'm sure that there's some kind of mental health issue there. And it's just like, you know, a little bit of kindness goes a long way in this world.
Weren't people like speculating that he made it up to get like a pay raise or something on the show?
Well, listen, that does, if that's his motivation, does it seem like it's a very logical way to
No. But right? I mean, I don't know. For me, like, what I hate is like anyone who is going to discredit you know, the many LGBTQ people out there who are survivors and victims of assault. Yeah, I hope that it doesn't make anyone skeptical of anyone else who deals with this.
And he is famous, you know, but, you know, there's also another case that happened in Michigan, in Jackson, Mississippi, or Jackson, Michigan. There was an LGBT activist who burned down their house in a hate crime.
Oh, wow.
You know, they burned it down themselves, were caught. Five of their pets died, you know, but because they're not a famous celebrity, there's not the outrage over that. You know, that's what I'm more outraged, that you would murder your own pets for that kind of like Munchausen sympathy or something. I don't know.
For the listeners out there who are familiar with these kind of state of minds and the, you know, armchair psychologists, what is the term called when you fake a crime in order to get sympathy for it? Because somebody was actually telling me on Twitter that's not Munchausen.
No, but there is a new show on Hulu about Munchausen's.
It's a really fascinating disease because it's like, it's the parent. Well, Munchausen is you're faking an illness in order to get sympathy, right?
Yeah.
And Munchausen by proxy is you're faking your child's illness, or you're making your kid intentionally sick to get sympathy for yourself. My poor kid's so sick.
Oh, my God.
You know, so it is, you know, when young people sort of use the term gaslighting, is that you're driven, they usually saying because you're like, what they're really trying to say is you're two-faced, that you're not saying what you really mean because they're wanting to fight.
Gemini?
Well, I'm not saying you specifically, but I do notice a lot of young people on social media use the term gaslighting incorrectly when they really wanted to say insincere or manipulative.
Yeah.
Gaslighting is intentionally driving someone else mad by pretending there's not a problem that's happening, which is what the Republican Party does. And certainly not the case. Speaking of going insane, I was going insane earlier today. And I have to tell you guys this story because, you know, in terms of why we do this podcast and who inspires us, there's a pantheon of gods out there that inspire us to do this podcast. And certainly like someone like RuPaul is certainly one among them, Eartha Kitt, the great Carl Sagan, and Mr. Rogers, you know, inspires me and Mark to be our best to create spaces where people can talk about their feelings and tell their stories and be heard and understood. I certainly hope you, Vita, feel like a little bit, you know, heard and understood
yeah.
by the podcast.
Yeah, I think what I forgot to mention earlier is I'm really in the market right now for a man with like fingers that are 5 to 6 inches long because I need this very particular muscle in my anus to be massaged and my fingers are just too short.
So you're using the podcast, your podcast appearance as a Craigslist ad, basically.
Yeah, but it's for medical purposes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can't the doctor just prescribe that to you?
Like, prescribe me a finger, a helping hand.
Just get a carrot. Ah! A dildo.
I know, but, like, I just think a person's touch would really aid the healing process.
A warm Epsom salt bath?
Yeah, I do those often. They're amazing. Mm.
So... Since the documentary Won't You Be My Neighbor on the life of Mr. Rogers and his legacy came out, Mark and I and our friends in media, we have a couple of close friends, went to see it together, and we were all just really moved and touched. And it was really interesting to me how some of my friends in journalism or in entertainment also share that common bond with me and Mark on how we were influenced and inspired by the great Mr. Rogers. And it was a real treat to discover that Officer Clemens, Francois Scarborough Clemens, in real life is an openly gay, unapologetic, sassy gay black man.
You don't say.
A diva, calls himself Diva Man. And we just fell in love with Francois in the documentary. And so I quickly went on the internet and friend requested him on Facebook, not expecting anything of it. And he responded. And through the past year, I've sort of grown and developed a little bit of a friendship online with Francois Scarborough Clemens. And I've been begging him, please come on a podcast. I'm dying to talk about your life with you. You know, because I just feel like the documentary just kind of scratched the surface. And I thought there's so much more to tell. So much, you know. So we finally got to talk to Francois today. And Mark and I were just like, we got the time wrong. We got the time zone confused. And we're just in a hurry. And we started doing the podcast. And we had, Francois took us to church. At the end of the podcast, Mark and I were just like teary-eyed and so moved by his story. And I can't wait to share that with you guys. And it would be up by now. However, in the process of setting up the new computer, some of our whole hardware is malfunctioning. And we developed all the audio has a little like a spark, like a tick in it. And so I was just like literally so depressed. I mean, imagine if like the interview of your lifetime that you wanted to get and it just went horribly wrong. And especially afterwards that we had like had such an amazing conversation with him. So I called a couple of friends of mine who are in audio engineering. And so they're in the process of looking at that to see what they can do. If you guys can afford to make a donation to help cover our costs of addressing this technical issue, which comes and goes because of the audio interface that we're currently using to allow us to replace that, please go to gofundme.com/feastoffuncomputer and make a one-time donation because it is an extraordinary interview that I'm dying to get to you guys. And I hope that in one way or another, we're going to get it to yes. you guys. I just want it to have the best audio quality possible.
For you guys and for prosperity's sake. Posterities.
And for me, I just want to say that it was great for me to be able to do the frustrated, angry Mr. Rogers routine. Like, why are people not paying attention? I said, it's you I like.
You got a kick out of that.
That was good. Because, you know, I imagine that Mr. Rogers is a little bit more sassy, a little bit more down to earth than he let on television.
And he had some rough language, let's just say.
Rough language?
Yeah, he said some things I didn't expect to come out of his mouth.
Really?
Yeah, he took us to church.
Yes.
He did not hold back.
I am wet for this.
This is very wet. This is the Feast of Fun interview of the year. It's coming, people.
And I'm coming.
Francois talked to us about him coming out to Fred Rogers while in the shadow of the Stonewall riots.
Wow.
And Fred Rogers, in his infinite wisdom, was like caught in a really difficult situation because he had this really important children's show And he had a man, a friend who he cared deeply about coming out as gay to him and not sure what to do with it. So he said, you know, I love you exactly just the way you are, but this is something we need to keep quiet about. Mm-hmm. If you are to be on the show, because of the world that we live in the moment, we cannot have you be openly gay. And that means you can't go to gay bars. You need to be on the down low. Mm-hmm. And that's a painful, difficult story. And it just gives me a profound sense of gratitude to the wisdom of these individuals like Mr. Rogers and Francois Clemens that were able to navigate such a difficult, such a dangerous environment at that time. And that me and Mark and everybody who's benefited from the show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood had that in our childhood so we could be Mr. Rogers for other people. And that to me is just like, wow.
And I can't wait to share that with you guys. It'll be out soon.
Vita Santa Mamita.
Love when you say it like
you like
that.
How I said your name.
Yeah, with a little flair. Yeah,
a little sazon, criollo.
I just have this monotone, so I'm just like Vita Santa Mamita.
Oh, you need some sabor. Yeah.
Vita Santa Mamita.
Yes, picante.
She's the ship that sank, went down with all the seamen.
In the Berlin alleyway.
Thank you for coming on the podcast. It's
Thank
been a
you
pleasure
for having
to
me.
Get to know you.
Yes.
And I want to remind folks, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you can, make a donation to the GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer or become a Plus member at FeastOfFun.com/Plus. We also have a new Patreon. You guys are asking for it. Well, now it's there. It's Patreon.com/FeastOfFun where we unlock our vault of treasures.
Of goodies. Woo. And we have a lot of clips there of upcoming Cooking with Drag Queen episodes. So you can see those before anybody else does at Patreon.com/FeastOfFun.
Vita, where can people find you on the interwebbers?
They can follow me on Instagram at Vag Out with Vita and Facebook Vita Santa Mamita.
Well, all right.
It's Veg, V-E-G.
Oh, no, it's V-A-G. It is Vag.
That's even more confusing.
No, it's great.
Like vagina.
Yeah, like vagina.
Like vajayjay.
You know, like always eat your veggies. Like, you tell it to all your 5
You should always
kids.
Eat your veggies.
Exactly.
Always.
It's a healthy diet as a balanced diet.
That's salinity.
Yes, mama. Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.